Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. For the remaining 5 minutes, we're just gonna spend some time to pray for the youths of Jesus House Toronto, using them as a point of contact to reach out to our friends, our loved ones, our families. Ecclesiastes 5, please. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. We come to church to learn of him, to serve him, to be taught. Amen. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Oh, manda sabara di sokondia. Ela banda sata. Oh, jada gabrina gadaso no kodia. Ela bara da sise kedele no kos. Ecclesiastes 5:1 says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to do what? Utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be what? Be few. My emphasis is in verse 1. When you go into the house of God, be more ready to do what? Hear. Praise God. The most important thing that happens to church when we come is what we heard. Praise God. Because it's what we hear, we go back to do what? To do. Amen. And like Pastor always admonish us, he said, it's not the hearer alone that is what? Blessed, but the doer of the word. Amen. So this morning we'll just pray for the youth. And you know, you're praying for yourself as well, even as you pray that prayer, that we are attentive to God's word. As we are taught God's word, we live out God's word faithfully. Amen. Let's open our mouths and pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your precious, holy, written word given to us to instruct us, to guide us. Oh, we thank you. We thank you that you inspired men to write these words to us, and we receive them this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus, even as we are taught your word, even as we engage with your word this morning, your word, oh God, let it cause light to shine in our minds, in our hearts, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that as we hear your word this morning, we'll go back and live it out. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we will not be hearers alone, but doers of the same. In the name of the Lord Jesus, our hearts indeed will be compelled to do your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, if your word says that you are the one working in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. As we hear your word, let your word stay in us that action. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, there will be men who live out your word indeed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we will be quick to hear and slow to speak. Quick to hear and slow to speak. Quick to hear and slow to speak. In the name of the Lord Jesus, our ears are attentive. Our hearts are attentive. Ready to receive from you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ready to receive from the men that you will use in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We open our hearts this morning to receive in the name of the Lord Jesus, that your word will indeed bless us, that indeed your word will do us good. In the name of the Lord Jesus, our hearts are open to receive. Our minds are open to understand. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you because your word indeed will bear fruits in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Your word will bear fruit. Your word will bear fruit. As we endeavor to do it, your word will bear fruit. Your word will bear fruit. We will live out the word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the privilege to gather again. Your word says that we should not despise the gathering of ourselves together. As the manner of some is, you have enabled us to come in this morning to be taught by you, to receive instruction. We ask and receive this morning that our hearts are open in the name of the Lord Jesus. That you will bless us, bless us, bless us indeed in the name of Jesus. And no one will leave the same way they came. All indeed will have an experience with you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Good morning, church. privilege to anchor the youth conversation this morning in the absence of my president, Mr. Ayomide Osho. And I want to thank Pastor Ken for the privilege. And I want to thank, is it Pastor Ayomide, I call him now? Also the privilege to anchor this. I'm a little bit nervous because I'm always here to speak. But now I have to do the asking. Amen. It's different. Praise God. Amen. So this morning I have some amazing people who will be joining me up here to continue the conversation on vision. And this is vision part two. Part one, we had, really amazing, speakers up here. So this morning I'll be joined by, when I call their names, please encourage them as they come up. This morning I'll be joined by Success Idaho. Keep clapping. Ushers, please help them with microphones as they come up. I'll be joined by Simi, Sister Simi. Yes, keep clapping till she comes. And lastly, I'll be joined also by Sister Ella Guma. Praise God. And like my president will do, any random person that wants to join them, we have one more seat for you. And my seat as well. Yes, anybody, I'll call a name. People that sit at the back. Yes, anybody. I can feel some people's hearts doing. Anybody, please feel free to join us. It's just a conversation. You know, we're not writing an exam, eh? Praise God. All right, I think I'll be the last person. Please help me with the. Oh, Brother Emmanuel. Ah, oh, bless your heart. Woo! Glory! Yes, Brother Emmanuel is joining us this morning. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Amen. Brother Emmanuel? All right. Praise God. Are we excited? Good morning, guys. For joining me this morning to continue the conversation on visions. Praise God. All right. So last time we started, we, got a head start on what it means, what visions means, right? And what it means to have a vision, And I want to continue this morning from a contribution one of the brothers made on this side the last time, having a vision from God and having an ambition, and he said there's a thin line between the two, right? So this morning we want to, kick off the conversation from there. Praise God. And as we proceed also, we might throw some questions to, the congregation, just so we, get your input as well. Amen. All right, our core scripture is Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 to 15. If you have your Bibles, please, you can open it up. Let's read together. Genesis chapter 13. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. right? Verse 15. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Right? God was speaking to Abraham in a vision. Amen. So this morning we want to proceed. First question will go to, they say ladies first. So. Okay. In alphabetical order. You win. All right. Sister Ella, how do you differentiate between a man-made vision and a God-given vision? Right.
Okay. Amen. Good morning, Amen. Everybody. Okay. I will take us back a little to the beginning, the foundation of everything. I actually pondered a lot about this question, so it's interesting you asked me. Okay. So, God created man for fellowship. That's the reason he created man, to fellowship, to bond with man. But then something happened, which is that man fell. So sin came in the picture. And so God did something about that. We read in Philippians chapter 2, if we can go there, please. Philippians chapter 2. So we can see it ourselves.
Yeah.
Is it there? No? Okay.
Yeah, Philippians 2.
All right. So therefore, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, in any if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem better than themselves. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Verse 5. Now, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being God, did not consider robbery to be God. Next, verse 7. But made himself, this is where I'm going, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, the likeness of men, right? And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Amen. So we see that God is spirit, right? Genesis 1:1, the spirit of God hovered around the face of the earth. But then we see here that God in turn became man. So that's Jesus Christ. So God became man to rescue man from sin, right? Man fell. Man is helpless, cannot help himself. So God became man to help man. How? In that he died, was buried, and rose on the third day. What I just said is the core, the context of the entire Bible, is that God, who became a man, will die for our sins, be buried and raised on the third day to bring us to safety. That is to reconcile us back to himself. So I'll answer the question. I'm just building foundation. Right? So, yeah, in this we see the love of God. That's why we can worship, because we're helpless. But God did something about that. He saved us from sin. Okay, so having established that, you know, like I said, this is the context of the entire Bible, illustrated by Moses in his writings, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, prophesied by the prophets all through the Old Testament. Jesus came on the scene and taught the same thing, taught his disciples that. His disciples, being apostles, taught the same, and now we are learning the same thing, in that this is the reason Christ came, to die, be buried, and to be raised on the third day. Now, that was God's, that is God's vision for humanity. So God had a vision. Man will be reconciled to me. Man will have my life. That is a God vision. Okay? So stay with me, please. Technology. Okay, so having said that, now we see in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, says, Jesus says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing men in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always. Jesus instructed that to his disciples, and in turn, all of us seated here, because we believe by faith we receive salvation. And so the one who created us, who has now given us purpose, right? So I'm answering this question from the perspective of purpose, right? When you understand purpose, where your desires become God's desire, your vision becomes God's vision. Because a man-made vision is a vision derived for and by self. It has nothing to do with God. Whereas God, who created you, has a vision for your life, has a purpose for your life, right? And so when we understand that and we receive salvation, we receive the Spirit of God, our desires change to become God's desires. And so when he says, go ye into all the world, that's what you desire. So now to answer the question. Right, so now we've talked about having received salvation, having a relationship with God, understanding purpose. That means that having done all of these things, or being in fellowship with God, we're able to see ourselves the way God sees us. We can see what God wants for our lives. So the visions of our life in business, family, where to live, the different aspects of our life will be based off purpose. So you'll be able to see clearly when you see yourself in Christ, when you understand what purpose is. And so that's the difference between a God-centered vision and a man-made vision. Man-made is just for self, you know, all about you. God wants you to live for others. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I think that was pretty good, eh? A God-given vision is one you not just live for yourself, but you live for others. Having Christ as the focus, the center, you know, and in doing that, you're living a purposeful life. Praise God. And man-made vision is
derived by self. Yeah.
Praise God. Anybody wants to add to that?
Yeah, I'll go. Praise the Lord. So there are two kinds of vision, right? There's the one that is not of God, it's from the individual. And those kind of visions are not in alignment with what I would call the destiny of that man. And in the opposite side, the visions from God is one that is in alignment with your destiny, because he's the one that did create you. And, there are a few characteristics of a vision that is from God. Number one, it is in accordance with God's own vision, as she has rightly pointed out. And if we can go to Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. Just as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now this is the vision of God for us. And if we go to verse 8, we'll see it defined even clearly. Let's go verse 10, sorry. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And this is the vision of God that, and he's made the provision by being the salvation that man needs to be able to be reconciled to him, you know, by offering himself as that sacrifice, you know, to enter into the conscience of man and purge man of that evil thoughts and, you know, of sins and basically every idols and impure thoughts, to purge that out, and to, after doing so, ascend into the thrones of our hearts. And that is the process of him, you know, being in us just as he has promised from the beginning, which is to, you know, give man eternal life, which means to give man his spirit, right? And that's the purpose, that's the aim of God, that we should be reconciled in that person that is the salvation, Jesus Christ. And that is the vision of God. And, you know, this is what is revealed unto all the prophets, even from as back as Moses, that, you know, a prophet like unto you, I raise up from among them, saying that, speaking of the resurrection of Christ. You know, if you go out to Joel, it says, on that day I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams. I think that's what it says. On that day, meaning the period of time after the resurrection of Christ. So we can see from as far back as the prophets all the way through. It is a singular message on how God is, you know, intent on reconciling man to himself by, you know, what, you know, purging man and then ascending into the throne of man. In that way, reconciling man to himself. So the vision of from God is going to be in accordance with that. If you look at all the prophets, they received visions from God. And they worked in that purpose and in fulfilling their destiny in such a way. We know of Moses because of he worked in line with the vision of God. You know, we know of all the prophets and the apostles because they went about fulfilling that vision that God revealed to them, basically entering into that destiny. And those are the characteristics. That's one characteristic of a vision of God. Another one is it's not something that can be fulfilled easily. It is something that requires the assistance or the fulfillment of God. You know, it's not something that it's meant to feel unattainable, right? So it's going to look like something that you cannot attain. But in the believing God, it starts to, you know, believing that God has worked it out, he has done it, he has fulfilled it, and you're just stepping into that. And, you know, just as you have the salvation of a soul, you know, basically God has fulfilled it. All you're doing is believing and entering into it. You're entering into that knowledge of your saving grace, and in that way you're receiving salvation. It's not to go about doing and trying to earn salvation. It's something that he has already made provision for. So it's about making up your mind and receiving. That's why the gospel is not doesn't contain the power. It is the power unto salvation, because you hear it, and by believing it, at that moment you are redeemed and reconciled to God. That's why I say we should go about in preaching it, as Ella has mentioned, right? And that's a huge characteristics of a vision from God. It is something that depends on God completely. And another characteristics of a vision of God is that it is given to one, but to be completed by many. Like if you look at this ministry, it was a vision given to our pastor, Pastor Ken, but it requires the assistance of everybody to be able to lift that vision up, to fulfill that vision. So those are the three characteristics I can say can help one determine a vision from God. And I would add one more. Vision from God tends to be in accordance with the talent that you have, right? Talent. It feels natural to you to enter into that. It's not something that is going to feel like a burden on that individual, although it might be scary. If God would show us the vision for each and every one of us, I bet a few of us would say, I'm out, I'm not doing it, it's just someone else. But that's why he gives us the vision in stages, you know, as we, you know, learn from our past and our current situation. It prepares us for that vision to fulfill it, right? So those are the characteristics I can say are, you know, one can look at to determine a vision from man and a vision from God.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Praise God. That's pretty good. Amen. One thing he said that I picked was a vision from God always seem unattainable by man, because it's God-centered. You know, it always looks bigger than you. Imagine God telling Moses that, you know, he will be the deliverer of the children of Israel, you know, and then he starts to tell God, but God, you know I'm a stammerer. God, you know this. God said, I know, but you have Aaron. Praise God. And that ties into the last point he said about when God gives a man a vision, you know, he needs the assistance of other people, right? Because it's bigger than that man. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you very much. Yeah, Sister Simi and Brother Success, yes. Go ahead.
Just to add on to what Emmanuel said about how God-given visions are less attainable or realistic by human standards. In school, we're also taught about this thing called SMART goals. which is specific, measurable, attainable, R is realistic, thank you. Realistic, and T is timely. I feel like this is an outline that fits better with like man-made goals, but I feel like with God-given goals, it goes beyond the limits of the SMART goals. For example, in the situation of David, if it was a man-made goal, going against Goliath, who's a maybe 9-foot-tall giant warrior, against a little 14-year-old 5'2", it's not realistic, it's not attainable, doesn't make any sense. But because it was a God-given vision, he was able to go past the limits of SMART goals, attainable, reachable, and he's able to defeat Goliath.
Awesome. A round of applause for our panelists. Stasimi, do you want to add to that?
What I had here was, is still there. Anyways, vision is an encounter with God where he imparts special revelations. So visions and revelations, they kind of come hand in hand. So like he was saying, if there's no way in real life, if I'm sure, like having to go fight like a 6-foot person, it's crazy. But then if God has said something, if he has revealed something, okay, there's a purpose in which I'm trying to do this for. So it's a revelation. The thing is, we can't go out and attain something without having a revelation from God. We have to have an encounter with him. So if you're thinking, okay, this is what I'm going to do, or rather you have an idea, but then God is like, this is what I want you to do, but then you're trying to do it your own self, there's no way it's going to come to pass. So like, me personally, for example, I want to be a lawyer like Pastor, just giving an example. And then God is like, that's not my plan for you. I want you to be a preacher, to be a teacher. But then you keep on, like you said, you cannot attain something. Like you could, I probably just think it's unattainable because Pastor is having to read the Bible every day. Pastor is having to preach on the stage and everything. Like, I have stage fright. So like all those things come hand in hand. But then with the revelation of God, with prayers, with having that encounter with God, everything becomes easier. Everything becomes more attainable. So the most important thing is having that encounter and having to pray yourself into that revelation of the fulfillment of that vision.
Praise God. An encounter with God helps you achieve his vision. Praise God. And one thing I'm getting from, you know, everybody is that a God-given vision cannot be achieved by man. God will use men, obviously, but man setting out by himself to do it is nearly impossible. Praise God. A round of applause for our panelists again. And so, you know, just going off of that, you know, a God-given vision and a man-given vision, would you say that man having a vision means he's ambitious? You know, we all want to become something in life. You know, I remember when I was young. I'm still young. See, I forgot I was young. When I was much younger, I meant to say, amen. I used to stand in front of the mirror and behave like, you know, Reverend Chris Oyakhilome. It's funny, you know. And I would, why? Because my dad always played Reverend Chris Oyakhilome, you know, and Papa Higgin. So when I see them teaching, preaching, and moving in miracles, I'll go and stand in front of the mirror too. So, so every of my birthday, when they want to get me a gift and they ask me, what do you want? I say, what? A white suit. So I had so many when I was younger. Because why? I was influenced by who? Reverend Chris Oyakhilome, right? He was at the center of God's will doing that, right? And of course, you look at Love World and Love World Media, that thing is bigger than Reverend Chris Oyakhilome, right? There are men who are on their knees praying for him. You know, Daddy Joe, an example, talks about when he's preaching, there's a prayer team praying for him. right? Because there is a vision of God that he has, you know, come into, you know, that he by himself cannot actualize. Praise God. And so he needs God's help, and he also needs the help of men. Praise God. So coming back to, is having an ambition wrong? Like me seeing myself like Reverend Chris Oyakhilome, is that a bad thing? I'm just using that as a pointer, that is having an ambition, you know, is it wrong to have an ambition, you know?
Okay, for me, ambitions will go two ways. Yours is pertaining to you serving God. It has to do with God. But then certain people, well, it's not wrong. I also have an ambition. Like, everybody wants to probably want to be a millionaire or something. It's an ambition. But then once it's not centered around, like she said, people, ambition is self-driven. Okay, this is what I want to do. It has to do with you personally. But then when it becomes sensible is when you actually think about other people in attaining these goals. For example, if I want to make so much money, right? And then I'm thinking, oh, I want to be a doctor. Me wanting to be a doctor, yes, it's probably because I like the money. But then again, it also has to do with me helping people in critical situations. So having an ambition, it's beautiful. Like, there's something pushing you to get somewhere. You know, you have a vision. Okay, this is where I want to go. This is what I see myself doing. This is where I see myself going. But then what is the drive pushing you? That ambition is what actually pushes you to say that this is what I want, right? But then when it becomes negative is when you are selfish about it. Like, you do not care. All you want to do is myself. And then you don't care about the people you hurt getting to that position. So if your ambition is, I'm looking at myself like Pastor Chris, it's like, okay, God, I want you to help me and take me to this particular situation because I want to be like this person. I want to preach about your word. I want to bring people closer to you. But if it has to do with, I want to preach, I do not care how I want to get it, then you're deviating and you're actually not going to drag yourself alone. You're dragging other people along with you, especially when people don't have like a focused goal, a vision. They just follow along with you. So when you have an ambition, be careful not to drive people down with the path you're choosing. And then once it has to do with a God-centered vision, or rather a God-centered ambition, then I feel like there's this positive vibe you get. Okay, I'm doing something that has to do with God. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. So yes, like, for, I look up to Runo so much, and I'm just putting out there. And then for me, sometimes I'm like, I want to be like Runo. I want to be able to pray so much, read my Bible every time. That is what I want to do. It also has to do with me pulling people alongside with me. So honestly, having an ambition can go both ways. It depends on what your ambition is all about, or what you're planning to do, or what you see yourself doing.
Praise God. Wow. Amen. So Sister Simi gives us a warning. Praise God. In trying to achieve something for yourself, don't drive people down. Amen. That's good. Thank you. Anybody wants to?
Yeah, I'd like to add to that. Yeah, I love how she made a distinction between positive and negative. Ambition is not a bad thing when you're doing it for the right reasons. Because ambition really is a determination to succeed at something, at a goal you set out. You know, like she said, you have something you're envisioning, how to get there. You want to get there. You want to succeed at that thing. And so it's not a bad thing if it's for the right reasons, like you said. And so I love what she said about not losing character. I believe that's why you need to start from the foundation. Do you see yourself in Christ? Do you see yourself how God sees you? Are you acting out of character just to get to what you want? You know? So you should, as a believer, you want to live by the word, the standards of God's word. You want to see yourself how God sees you. So yes, there's this saying, I'm a believer before an entrepreneur. You're a believer before anything else. I'm a believer before a doctor. I'm a believer before, you know, a business analyst. I'm a believer before whatever. You are always a believer first. So you must see yourself as that in any situation. And in doing that, you maintain character. you maintain godliness. You can be an example to others in what you're doing. So, like your example, Pastor Chris Oyakilome, he's ambitious in what he's doing. Because if he was not, if he was lazy, he would not get to where he was, right? So he had ambition in doing that, even in ministry, right? So as career and, how do I put this? You can be a believer and still be in career. You can be a believer and still be a creative. Being a believer doesn't stop you. It doesn't have to be one or the other. So there's ambition as a person. It's just make sure that you're not losing character. You're representing Christ in what you're doing, you know, and you're influencing people for God. Not that we hear a story that in the office, you're one of those forging things to get to get what you want, or lying and things like that, or maybe you don't file taxes, or you know, all of those things. Always remember you're a believer before anything that's driving your ambition. Amen.
I'd like to add to what co-panelists have said. So I think vision breeds, I think, four traits in a person. Hope, because you have a vision of what is to come. Because if you look at the definition of vision, I think it says, and it's a Greek word that means sight beyond sight, right? So if you have that foresight, then you have hope. You know, if you look at the vision given to, you know, the prophet, that bred hope of what is to come. You know, and in that they also receive, you know, positively. And when you have vision, you have discipline. You are able to see that if this, it might be a good thing, but it doesn't fit with my vision. It doesn't fit with the destination that is ahead. Then you are able to navigate what is good and what is in a perfect match with your ambition, right? And it also breeds what I would say is mastery, because we are not destined to do everything. When you have a vision of a destination, then you know in which area to master. You are not lost in the sea of possibilities. You know where to focus your energy. And that breeds mastery. And when you have mastery, that's what brings people to you, right? Because people chase value, you know. And that leads me to the last trait, which is ambition. And so when you have a vision, you have that ambition and drive to see to the end, to bring that vision to pass, right? And it, you know, it depends. So it brings me to my point. The quality of the vision also determines the quality of the ambition, if it is good or bad. If you have the right vision, then you would have the right ambitions, right? You know where you're heading down. You know the drive is there. You don't have to worry about, am I doing wrong or right? If you know your vision is right, if it comes from the right source, right? If you have a vision that is of God, you know, it's destined you to be in a certain area, then you don't worry about having a positive, good ambition or bad ambition. You know the drive that is stirring up in you to bring that vision to pass is a good one. So I think, you know, rather than asking, are they good ambitions or bad one, we should be asking, are they good visions or bad visions? Because I think it stems from that. Thank you.
Awesome. Round of applause, please. Are we learning? Are we taking notes? Praise God. Yes, Brother Success.
Also, I'm just to add to everything everybody said, with ambition, it's not a bad or a good thing. It's more about the intent behind it. For example, if maybe you have a friend who you go to gym with and he's stronger than you, you say you want to be stronger than him. Now, a good push, like a good ambition might be, okay, I'm going to work hard and get stronger than him. Bad ambition, like with bad intent, might be, I'm going to get him injured so that he won't be able to work out. I can become stronger than him. So something like that would be a very bad intent behind your ambition. Something else is also what you do with that ambition. For example, if maybe somebody's a prosecutor and they're against someone who they really believe did something wrong, but then they see evidence that might work in that person's favor, instead of like doing the right thing, going through the right procedures, they might go and hide evidence. That would be like using maybe a good intent, but like bad character. Yeah, like using, like not using it correctly. So I feel like you have to be very, pay attention to like the intent for your ambition, as well as what you use it to do. Make sure it's positive.
Praise God. Amen. What fuels your ambition? What fuels that which you want to, you know, to achieve, right? And, you know, like Sister Ella said, whilst trying to achieve something, we ensure, we're first believers, right? So we ensure to, you know, maintain good character. Amen. I know there's a scripture, Mommy Allah, Yinka always quotes, you know, when she has the opportunity to teach, is a good name is better than what? Riches, right? You know, that shows character. Praise God. You know, and even sometimes in our African culture, you know, before you get married, they tell you, look for a guy that has what? Good character. Look for a girl that has good character from a well-trained home, from a responsible home, right? Those are things our parents tell us. So character is very, becomes very important, right, in fulfilling destiny, in chasing, you know, the ambitions, you know, we set out for ourselves, you know. And Brother Emmanuel said that a good vision breeds good ambition. I like that. Thank you, sir. Yes, I want to open it to the congregation. Anybody wants to add to what our panelists have said? Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to correct something about what was said before. A vision is not attainable or seems not attainable. I think a vision is attainable and it's very easy. You just have to listen to God, because the vision of God, if he says it, then it's doable. Like when God said, cross the Red Sea, and people doubted, it's easy. When God said to Abraham to go into a land he has promised, and he left because he listened. He didn't think. I feel like when the vision of God is released to you or revealed to you, it's attainable. When you doubt it, it seems unattainable. But for God to say it, is attainable. If God says you can run and you go join the Olympics, join the 100 meters, you're going to beat Usain Bolt, and you've never run in your life, it's attainable. If God says it, go do it. And just do it, because if he said it, he's a God who stays by his word. So whatever he says is going to happen. So you go do it. Obviously, you're not going to sit on the couch and say, oh, I'm just going to run tomorrow and pass Usain Bolt. There's work you got to be done to do that. But I believe that a vision of God is attainable. And when you guys mentioned ambition is selfish driven. So that's why it starts with am. So ambition. So if you're doing something, say you want to be a lawyer because you want to help fight crime or whatever, you want to help others. When you're helping others, you're kind of, you're releasing endorphins too. So you're helping, you feel good about yourself. Whenever you do something good for someone, even though you want to do it for them, you feel good for yourself. So ambition is basically the vision of man. So it's not, it has nothing to, even though you want to do something in a godly fashion, something positive, you'll want to feel good about it, or you're going to feel good about it. So the vision of God first starts with knowing God. That was the original vision, knowing God. So I believe that the vision of God is attainable. I believe God, the vision of God is everything that has to do with the things of the spirit. When it comes to the things of flesh or things that are carnal based, then it's vision of man. But as Sister Simi pointed out, you have to be careful with your intent. Make sure that it's something positive, something that can glorify God, something that can show people that you are the light of God, because you want to educate people and people see God through you. When people see you, how you act at work, how you treat people, they come to know God and they say, you're different. Where are you from? you were different, you act different, and then you can have that opening to tell them about God and tell them about the vision of God. So that's the things I just wanted to point out. God bless. Awesome.
Thank you very much. Just hold on. Pastor has something.
Praise the Lord. I think we are all on the same page on in terms of unattainable. I think the panel, from what the gentleman said, the panel actually said it's unattainable without God. So it's basically saying what the panel said. It's unattainable without God. Without God is unattainable, but when you have God in it, because it's God-given, then you are able to, because it's something bigger than you that only God can help you to achieve.
Thank you, sir. Praise God. A round of applause for Pastor. We have hands coming up. Okay, we'll take, we'll just take one person for the sake of time. I think I saw your hand first. Yes, we'll take Sister Essay for next 2 minutes and we'll wrap up this session.
To say, like, concerning a vision, I feel like the panelists said that it can go ways. Like, you either have good vision or bad, good ambition or bad ambition. But I feel like one of the things that makes bad ambition is when you turn it into an idol. Like, if you look at King Saul, for an example, he had ambition, but when it turned into an idol, you see how he tried to touch one of God's anointed. He tried to touch David, and you see how that turned against him. When you look at King Herod, he had ambition. But he turned that into an idol in the fact that, like, he tried to kill all the baby boys and he tried to kill Jesus, but ultimately God reigned. So I feel like sometimes, like, when you make your ambition into an idol and you forsake God, because God says you cannot worship any other thing except me, that's when you see, like, your vision start to go away. And concerning vision, I read a devotional a while ago. It was like The Open Heavens, and it talked about many of us are living a vision, like we're working in a plan that was not God's first choice for us. But because God is a God of choice and a God of free will, he will allow us to walk in that path, but we're struggling in it. And even though, like, a vision is ultimately, like, you're going to have to work hard for it, like, when it is not God's intended will, you'll be technically struggling against God. So I would just say that make sure, like, not only ask God for his will to be done in your life, seek God so you know what his will is in your life, so that you're not walking in the backup plan. Like, you're walking in God's first choice for your life, so that you won't have to struggle as hard.
Amen. Praise God. Walking in the vision of God is walking in his plan. Yes, sister. Yes, the Ashley, and that will be our last person for this session.
Hi. So I think that there's actually no good ambition, just because, like, in the definition is self-driven. And I think it's the reason why people can think there's good ambition is because of the hard work part. But that's in everything you do, like, regardless of if... But the difference between, like, what God's calling you to do and ambition is who you meet before and after. Ambition is glorifying yourself. And not everything good is meant for everybody. Because I believe that I can give thanks to God through preaching doesn't mean it's for me. And so that's basically like saying, like, it's just basically me saying I feel like I'm giving God glory through what I want. And yeah, that's a bit clear.
Thank you very much. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have we been blessed this morning? Have we been blessed this morning? Yes. Thank you, my panelists, Brother Emmanuel, Sister Emanuela, Brother Success, and Sister Simi. Please, a round of applause for them. In the second service, sir? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Look at your coordinator. Look at that. I'm so used to second service. Oh, okay. So what do we do now? something I wanted us to touch on was, you know, practical ways to achieve a vision, right? Practical ways to achieve a vision, you know. But I trust that Pastor will, you know, just. Give me a word now, help me. I'm a brother. Pastor Wood, help us. Amen. Praise God. A round of applause for our panelists as they head back to their seats. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.